Okay, so we last recorded in May, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Right before June. I think I was. We were like, "Hey, I'm going to Mongolia next week. We'll do a podcast right when I get back." And
yeah, and then I think in August I was traveling the first 2 weeks, so yeah, I got pushed back. But now I'm not going to go anywhere. So yeah.
All right, so Paige, how is life? What's going? What's new?
Life has been. It's been hard. I think, well, because, you know, I started this internship and the internship itself has been going really well. I feel like I'm learning a lot of stuff, and I really love my job in the sense of, like, I like going in and everything I do, I love it. But then a lot of stuff around it, like the people, like the commute, it's still something I'm getting used to. But for the most part, the hardest has been the salary, because I'm getting an intern salary. So that I think that really took a blow to my ego bit, because when I moved here, I kind of felt like all my financial problems were going to be solved, because in Hong Kong I was kind of struggling as well. And then to go back into that mindset of like, oh, like you have no more money and you can't travel anymore, all these things, like, I mean, for the most part, I feel really like hashtag blessed to be in Switzerland of all places, because I could still live my day-to-day life and feel like, you know, okay about it. But it's just like the whole checking into my bank account and having all this anxiety around money, it hasn't been really helpful. So I've been kind of just like trying to get through that. The good news is that they want to hire me full time. I'll find out more information about it maybe next week. So I'm just kind of like seeing the light at the end of the tunnel, like, okay, this is gonna be over next month, you know? So yeah.
Wow. We didn't podcast with your whole intern phase, and now we're at the end where, like, you have a legit job to offer and, like, be making, like, you know, more livable money. And
yeah,
dude, congratulations.
Thank you. That's like the good news. I just felt like I should start with the bad and then end with the good. And then everything after that, it's been pretty good. So,
but, you know, since I'm in my kitchen right now, I almost want to, like, I have one of my whiskey bottles right here. I almost want to just toast for you.
Please do. Yeah. I'm drinking coffee right now, so toast.
Actually, me too. So I could pour it into my coffee. And make it a whiskey coffee. And do a toast to Paige's new gig.
Thank you.
Yeah, I always say it sucked in the intern salary thing. On the plus side, at least it wasn't one of those, like, internships where you don't get paid anything, except
yeah,
like, and they try to tell you, oh, you'll get paid for exposure or like a resume line. At least at least this had money, which I think that is like a real positive thing.
Like, there was like aside from, I think it was more the fact that I was making, you know, a decent salary and then having to go back down and then feeling like, because I realized too, all of my kind of insecurities and anxieties revolve around money. So this, for that reason, it was bad. But other than that, I feel like it's been such a great internship in the sense that, yeah, I get paid, but also they don't treat me like an intern. I have so much responsibility. And I've pretty much from the get, I think once they realized, yeah, I'm not like, because I'm not like going into this completely new, you know, so I have a lot of years of experience. And I think once they realized that, I totally feel like I'm being treated like a, you know, full-time employee. Yeah, like an actual colleague, a respected colleague, and people respect me and all that stuff. So that's been really good. And the best part is that they have a lot of, like, I think they just really respect people. And there's a lot of, like, kind of protocols and stuff like that, which is completely the opposite of my previous company. So I feel like I can, you know, say what I want and not feel like I would be punished for it, kind of thing. And yeah, so.
What is an example of something you could say and not get punished for, just to get an idea for the listeners?
Okay, well, actually, this is interesting. So, so everything was going really well. And then my boss, the guy who hired me, turns out, like, professionally, he's really great to work with. He, you know, I like how he runs a team, everything. I can work with him well. However, it was almost like literally once he stopped being in work mode, the first thing that came out of his mouth was something super sexist. And in the beginning, I was like, okay, you know, like trying to like just be like, oh, maybe this is his culture, whatever. Like just trying to just like ignore it. But it got to the point where literally everything he said, and also we'd go to lunch together and I'd be the only like woman in the thing, and he would be saying all this stuff, and it was just really start to get really frustrating and uncomfortable. And I kind of kept this to myself for a long time because yeah, I was still relatively new and I didn't know who I can turn to. But a couple weeks ago, like I had a meeting with my line manager, so the person who manages me, and I love her, she's the best, and I just told her all this stuff because I was like, yeah, you know, especially now that I want to work here like permanently, I want to be in an environment where I can feel safe to be myself and not feel like, you know, and stuff like that. And I told her what he had said, like actually the week before he made a really terrible like joke, like a rape joke basically. And like it was just kind of like, yeah, I was like, oh my god, you know. And then so it was, so I said all this stuff, and she kind of, she said, she looked pretty disappointed, but not like at, she just felt kind of like, oh man, that kind of look, you know. And then she was like, you know, I'm gonna talk to him and this will never happen again. And I was like, wow, okay. And then I kind of forgot about it. And the next week, I think I could sense something was different, but he wasn't like hostile towards me. He just, you could just feel like he was trying to be more careful with how he spoke to me, and almost like he was a bit like, kind of took a step back. And then yesterday, so super random, Friday, we were going to go to lunch as a team. And right before, he was like, hey, Paige, do you have a second? And I was like, yeah. And he like, he was looking for a room, and I was like, whoa, this sounds pretty serious. And so the only two things I could think about at that moment was, I'm going to get fired or I'm going to get hired. And then we go inside and he sits down. And he was just like, I just want to formally apologize to you for what I've said, because I got the feedback from your manager and I agree, it was very stupid on my part. And, you know, I need to be careful what I have to say. And he looked super sincere about it. And I was shocked. Like at no point, like I just kind of expected like, the message would get through, but I did not expect an apology. You know, I did not expect any of that. And the fact that I got that, I was like, whoa, like this would never happen in my old company, because first of all, you wouldn't even feel comfortable telling someone about a manager, because in my old company, the managers were like untouchable. You know, you could say anything. People knew they were like, I mean, they weren't like sexist and stuff, but they were like evil, worse, like about in terms of how they run stuff. And you just couldn't even do that. And so for me to have that and then have an actual kind of, yeah, like it came full circle where he apologized, which I was not expecting at all. I was like, kind of like, okay, wow, this is a huge change. Because at one point I had thought about like, should I leave? Because I really don't feel comfortable here. But then I kind of thought, you know what? Like, it's kind of going to be like this anywhere else. And I want to feel like, I want to give people a chance before, you know, I make decisions, like conclusions about them. And also I don't want to, and I feel like this has been the whole, like, I don't know if we talked about this before, but like the whole thing about why people tend to, you know, choose sides, because I feel like there's never been a middle point, a meeting point for both sides to come towards. So I kind of wanted to do that. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, like, because the way I'm seeing this, hearing this story, there was a middle point, because up until that point, you know, he's making rape jokes at work and acting like, you know, but if no one had ever said anything to him, there's really no, and he's kind of old fashioned, there's really no way for him to know he's saying something inappropriate at work.
Yeah.
Or offending anybody. So, yeah, like, that, you know, it's just a middle ground of just like, hey, basically communication and not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I totally feel like that's kind of been, I mean, I've been doing a lot of thinking about this too, like how, like, kind of, it's just, like, also in America, everywhere, like, there's always a left and the right. I'm not saying, oh, all we have to do is get together and talk. But probably people should, you know? But it's because it's, like, when you kind of, because right now there's this whole, like, cancel culture of, like, if someone says something, you're like, oh, my God, they're canceled. I'm never going to talk to them again. And that's actually not good, because when you push people away, A, it, like, you kind of, you sever that line of potential communication, and also that other party is going to be like, oh, well, yeah, these people think like that. And you know what I mean? So you just kind of like, you're both in your own bubbles and you're both not communicating and you're both kind of reinforcing beliefs and stereotypes of the other person and blah, 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 blah. And I think when I decided that, I was like, okay, before I do that, I have to at least give this a shot and then decide whether this is, you know, like, and actually completely was so different. And I felt like it gave me hope and like humanity and just like how we can just talk to each other and
stuff. Oh my God, dude. When you were like, right before you said it, I was just thinking of cancel culture and just like how much I really don't like it. And
it's not good.
Mm-mm. Yeah, it's not good. I mean, I think people, a lot of people have just like lost their careers over it, over something they may not have realized they did wrong. Mm-hmm. Your situation also makes me realize just like outside of the internet and outside of the mob mentality of both sides, you know, there's normal ways to deal with these situations.
Yeah, and I think it's kind of like there's always good and bad stuff, right? Because I kind of love the internet for, you know, what I feel like, you know, you can learn so much because it's like from just searching things or whatever, I don't know. But at the same time, it's like I notice, especially I've realized, so the friends that I made here, they're like super feminist, but they're also like, they don't work in kind of like, because they're all like studying, they're all students basically. And that's great, you know, but it's kind of like, then you're going to be surrounded by like-minded people, which again, it's good to reinforce, you know, your beliefs and stuff. But at the same time, it's like, you don't like, because I was like, it's not that everyone, it's just kind of like, this is the daily world, you know, because when I was there, I was like, wow, like this is, because even at my old company, I think because it was more international, people knew to censor themselves and they knew like what to say and what not to say at work. However, here, because it's more local and everything, like I feel like you're getting, it was completely like, I was like, wow, I'm so uncomfortable here. But then you start to realize this is the majority of the world. And it's not because they're less like woke or anything. It's just that they're not exposed to, you know, stuff. And it's not like it's their fault or anything, which is like, this is just how society is. And rather than just run away from that and run away to my safety net bubble of stuff, like I was like, I mean, I could do that. I really could do that, you know, but how am I helping the situation at all? You know, because actually I saw there was a moment where I was like, you know, I see, because now basically our company, so a lot of people left recently. And then we just realized on Friday that there's only 4 full-time employed women and the rest are men, you know? And it's kind of like, you see, there's like, it's kind of like, okay, they're at this point, I can try to influence that, you know, because it's always, I guess mostly it's been men hiring other men. So it's kind of like, okay, now there's 4 women, but maybe we could do something about it, you know? So it's kind of like, rather than see it as, I mean, I think there's a certain point where you're like, okay, I can't take it anymore. I have to go. Like once it gets super toxic, but at this point it's not so much toxic. It was more like, this is the environment I've come into and I can probably change it. So seeing it more as like positive than negative, you know, but of course I totally understand. I mean, that happened to me previously, like if the environment is unchangeable, you know, and stuff like that, then you have to go. I think that's okay. But for me, I feel like if you have the mental capacity to try to change something, I would try.
Yeah. Just change. Yeah. I mean, it sounds like you're already mm-hmm. on that track to, and as long as like the people around you are open to hearing what you have to say. And yeah. Seeing like other point of views. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yeah, because I could sense it wasn't people, they just weren't exposed to different things, you know? So it was more like, yeah. And also I just started thinking a lot about how it's easy once you have all this knowledge to be like, oh, you don't know this kind of stuff. You know what I mean? To be like, oh, people who don't know this are dumb, you know? But it's kind of like, well, I spent all this time reading about it and researching about it, you know, and you can't expect other people who haven't done that to just be stupid or anything, you know. It's just like everyone takes time to learn things. And also once you start to get exposed, because I at one point didn't know a lot of things and I had to be slowly exposed to that, you know, just it could be for anything. And so I'm trying to be like, seeing where that everyone, like, at one point I too was homophobic and racist and stuff, and to be like, and at one point I realized I need to change that, you know? So it's kind of like to see what we all start from somewhere, kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah, I think the best starting point for these kind of things is being exposed to the stuff that you have prejudice mm-hmm. against, and that yes. usually changes things. That's why basically, you know, if you ask a racist person, oh, how many black people do you know? How many Hispanics do you know? How many Asian people do you know? They'll be just like, they don't know any. They just have all these assumptions. Yeah. Or mm-hmm. or if, you know, a lot of people think every other country is the enemy, even though they've never been to that yeah. country themselves and
yeah.
mm-hmm. don't know that most people are just living normal day-to-day lives and mm-hmm. not seeing whoever is the enemy at all.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think in this society, especially, and this is the downside with internet, because you can follow what you want to follow and read what you want to read. So I feel like it creates a further divide of just people's belief systems and stuff like that. And there has to be, yeah, a point where there's like, people have to be like, all right, guys, okay, I'm glad everyone's kind of feeling really empowered by their own, you know, Googling and Instagramming and stuff, but we have to realize this is not how the world works. I mean, this is becoming how society is becoming, but it doesn't have to be like that. And we should probably go back to the old days of when we used to talk to people and try to work things out, you know, like just person to person. And
yeah. I don't know if she still does this, but I remember for the longest time, like, your sister was like really on avoiding all social media and news stuff like that. And I feel like she was onto something now, like looking back, like, wow, like I think generally you'll just be a happier person not seeing all this shit every day.
But the thing was, she's on Facebook more. She's on Facebook now. But the problem before with that was that she was off social media by the time she was dating this terrible person who would then feed her information from him. So at that time, her view was like really skewed as well. But then the reason why she started going onto social media again was because when she started teaching, and then it wasn't so much, oh, I can't keep up with the times of the slang or whatever. It was more like she was not exposed to world events anymore. Like, because yeah, you could, I think there's certain things that it's good to shut off from, but at the same time, like, there was a lot of things that she wasn't aware of that was on, you know, because it's like, unless you watch, I think there's nothing really you can, she doesn't watch the news or anything like that. I honestly do not trust the news, TV, local news type of thing, but there were a lot of things she wasn't, just like world events. Yeah. She had no knowledge about. And so I think from there, I think that's when you're like, it's good to kind of know what's going on in the world in that sense, but she's still not on Instagram. She's still not on like a lot of other stuff. And I think, yeah, in that sense, I think you'd be a lot happier for it. Cause there are some days where I'm like, I was in a good mood and I go on Instagram and afterwards I'm like, fuck, I really wish I did not just go on Instagram right now because I feel really shitty. Yeah.
No, totally. Like, so I recently, I've always used like Reddit a lot, right?
Mm-hmm.
I've recently, as of like last week, I basically quit using Reddit cold turkey just because it became mm-hmm. a very toxic place. Very like, it's become almost a haven for like alt-right
people. Oh God.
Like, and basically every little thing. Yeah. And it's a, yeah, every like little thing, every part. If you're in a movie part of it, they'll just talk about how,
oh my God,
they're complaining about how there's a black Little Mermaid and, mm-hmm. You know, political things in every, even I was like in a solo travel forum and someone was just saying how like, oh, traveling to Indonesia is a shithole and the people are stupid. It's like, wow, everyone's like racist and it's just wow. toxic. And then on the other side, like Twitter is basically feeling like extreme left for me, where every time I go on, I just have to hear people saying, you know, if you're not vegan, you're a monster. All straight men are evil. Every single mm-hmm. one. Mm-hmm. Even though the women who always say that were dating straight men. So don't get that. And it's just, I don't always want to see... It's both sides are just, like, bummers. And stuff. I feel like Twitter for the comedians, but, like, I have so many, like, extension filters that, like... So I just don't see shit that... Like, I think I have, like, Trump... I don't want to see any Trump tweets on there. I don't want to see any vegan tweets in there.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to see, like... I even put, like, I don't want to see POC stuff on there. I just... Uh-huh. I'm just there to have... Just see funny shit, talk to friends, and that's basically it. And but then it feels kind of dumb that I have all these filters on the site. Like, is it almost worth it at the end?
I mean, yeah, like, it's kind of... I feel like if at the end you're able to get what you want to get, you know, and it's kind of... Like, I think it's okay to have filters. Because, yeah, like, you can't... Like, sometimes I wish Instagram had filters too, you know, because... But that's another thing. I've been going... I actually... Side note, I've been... I don't know if this is good or... This is probably worse. I think, according to Daniel, it's probably worse. But I've been playing more phone games. Because A, fun. B, escape. And C, it gives me less time to go on social media. And... Because now I don't go on Instagram as much. I don't, and which is for me is good because I limit my time now on Instagram because I want to play my games. Yeah, because sometimes it's like, it's just so much, you know, and it's just so much stuff and so much usually bummer news, you know, and like, and sometimes when I see, I get sucked into comments because a part of me likes drama, you know, so I want to read the comments and see what people are talking about. And then
comments
like,
are always the
that?
Worst. Ugh.
Yeah, I'm like, why did I do that? Like, this is a mistake. And so now actually, I think there were times where I actually would like log out of my main account and only have Fecking Hangry because my food when I'm really just following food, like it's just, it's purely food, you know? So I have nothing to read, no politics, nothing. And like, even though I feel like I'm the type of person who, because I would say now, especially living here with my friends, I would say I'm extremely left. However, it's kind of like, yeah, I don't want to see this every day. You know, at the end of the day, I'm still a person. I want to figure out my shit. And I just want to close myself off to the world like I do and just look at food and play my games. And yeah, and I think these days, actually, because of so much media influence right now, I'm starting to, I like really, I just was like, damn, I want a detox in my life kind of thing. You know, I want to step back from a lot of stuff and just kind of focus on myself again and focus on, yeah, like making music and all these things that I've kind of put on hold because of life and just getting sucked into the, I would say, I would guess this would be like the, for me, it's the Instagram void and Facebook, I guess. But Facebook, I'm mostly there for the memes and stuff. So, yeah.
But
yeah, that's, yeah.
Yeah, that's a good way. Like, yeah, just, yeah. I mean, I feel like phone games is totally you 100%.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's not, for me, it's not even the negativity that bothers me. I think I'm really critical of like keyboard activism. It doesn't really, it doesn't really do shit. Like, okay. So everyone does these huge, like, you know, Twitter threads on about, you know, Trump locking families, detaining families, and people are retweeting and saying, yeah, he's a monster. And they're, it's like, but you ain't doing shit. Like, no, and actually, and that's like very American where no one does anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in LA, they have the immigrant march every year. They have the women's march every year, but they're not even protests. They're parties for everyone to take Instagram photos and say we were there, but they're not doing anything. But then you look at a good example of if you really want to make change or disrupt the the powers that be. The people in Hong Kong are actually like doing good shit. That and not just like posting, just keyboard activism, basically.
Yeah. Wait, I was just gonna ask you, like, are you allowed to say that?
Oh.
In China?
I don't know. I guess. I guess if I get kicked out of the country, I mean.
We'll see. But anyways, let's just skirt over that. No, I totally get that because it's, and actually there was recent tweets, I mean, on Instagram because of the Amazon rainforest, and then people were like reblogging, blah, blah, sharing. And then there was one post I was like, look, you know, awareness is good, but likes are not going to do anything. You better just donate money, you know? And that was kind of nice to be like, to call people out, like, it's like, because it's kind of like, yeah, you could retweet, bring so much awareness to an issue, but if you're just going to sit there and like just scroll past at the end of the day, you know, it's not really, it's not going to do anything. So I think that's another thing for me too, that I'm kind of like, I want to minimize. There's certain times where I feel like venting about something, but other than that, I want to be like, is this retweet or repost going to actually do anything, or am I going to do something about it? You know, like, am I going to, like, so I was kind of telling myself, I won't do anything unless I've actually contributed to something, and then can be like, I did my part, what about you, kind of thing. So yeah, because it's kind of like, it's like, there's only so much, keyboard activism. Yeah.
And then I know, like, I think every time I want to vent, I'm just like, oh fuck, like, I feel like I'm just getting drawn into the whole comment hole and everything.
Yeah.
I think my venting about it is just talking to like friends, talking to you, talking to whoever about it. That's like my venting for it.
Yeah, I think, like, I feel like for me, I vented Daniel a lot, which he was kind of like, oh my God. But because even my friends, like, especially the ones where they're like activists, you know, and I can't really vent like this because I really see myself as like, I agree with them, but at the same time, I feel like I'm more in touch with like everyday people because I am. Like, sometimes they'll say words and things, and then I'm like, I didn't study this. I don't know what you're talking about, you know? And it's, and I think sometimes I want to tell people like, you look, you have to realize that like not everyone thinks like this. And I think what you, the foundations and the philosophy that we have is great, but, and I think people are starting to realize that too. If you go out and start spouting like, you know, your, what you've studied, like feminism and like for, you know, 4 years and using these big words and stuff, like, no one's going to pay attention. It's just so easy for people like, all right, yeah, you're just one of those people, you know, that like have all these. I remember I borrowed a book from my friend and I was reading about it. And then I was reading it aloud because it was the only way I can kind of process it. Yeah. Me and Daniel were having a laugh because there were words that I could not even pronounce. I was like, I've never heard this word before. It's so long, you know. And you're,
in German?
And that made time to make. No, in English. Oh. And that made me realize, like, it's all well and good, but this information, it's like, how do you expect, like, it was about gender and sexuality, and it's kind of like, how do you expect the everyday person who's never thought about this kind of stuff, you know, to suddenly be open to, like, everything? And it's just, so it's kind of like, and I'm myself right now, I'm doing active research, reading about it, but you can't expect my boss to be, like, open to, you know, non-binary people, for example, you know. So it's kind of like, I was, that's when I started to think like, okay, you have to, it, you really have to, because some people are like, I don't want to spoon feed people, but it's kind of like, you kind of have to, you know, if you want people to get to where you are, you have to realize like, yeah, no one's gonna understand this kind of stuff. That's basically what I'm getting at.
And why not spoon people? Like, why not like spoon feed people this? I mean, why not? Like, if you want to educate people, you can't just be like, I'm right, you're wrong, fuck you, here's the facts. Like, you're not gonna win people on your side like that.
Yeah, totally. That's when I kind of realized, like, this whole, no, we have, like, everyone has to know. It's like, no, like, no one's gonna know, you know, because actually 2 years ago I didn't know any of this stuff either, and it was because of exposure, curiosity, and then having time to read. Another thing, it's like, half these people are parents. You think they're gonna have time to like research this shit, you know, like, on their own, you know? So it's kind of like, I start to realize that whole spoon feeding thing, like, it really depends. Like, if it's certain issues, you're just like, I don't have the capacity to whatever. But there's certain things, like, for example, now I'm like, you know what, I want to start spoon feeding this stuff to my coworkers, you know, because I want to change. I want people, I want us to hire more women. I want us to hire, you know, I want to change this organization. So I kind of have to do that. Like, it's, you kind of have to, you know, and unless, because people aren't going to, like, at the moment, they don't even think it's a problem. So it's like, you have to first yeah, it just, you have to, it's baby steps. Like, spoon feeding is basically, I mean, it's for babies, right? Like, it's baby steps. And yeah.
And yeah, I mean, yeah, that's like, I love spoon feeding, you know, put that airplane right in your mouth, right?
Like, yeah, just call it like,
the baby applesauce.
Here comes some awareness. Open wide.
Time to wake up. Get woke.
Yeah, so it's like, yeah, basically.
Yeah, I think one example I remember, this was probably about 2 years ago. I was having drinks with a friend who, she actually did vote for Trump.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're just talking, and since we're in LA, she was just saying, ironically, how she feels attacked, so she never tells people. So, you know, and like, but like, and so I'm not going to get into a raging, like, debate, but we just started talking, and she's saying, like, why a wall is a good idea. And basically, I mean, the way I got her, I was just basically like, look, so you're saying, so a family who is struggling, I told her, we just happen to be lucky to be born in a rich country where there's a lot of opportunities, and just by a roll of the dice. So do you personally want to stop a family who just happened to be born somewhere, they had no control over it, where there's no chances, and they could easily cross a border and start a life? They don't want to hurt people. They just want to start their own business, start their own life. Do you really want to just stop that family, even though them succeeding or failing has nothing, no effect on you? And yeah, I had her right there. She was like, oh shit, like... I don't know if she changed completely, but that was like, it did make sense to her.
But you know what, it's kind of like, see, these conversations need to happen, and because yeah, like, it's easy when I'm with my, yeah, again, super left activist friends to like rant about stuff, but when I'm actually with someone who has different views, I'm not going to start spouting all the, you know what I mean? It's kind of like, the thing is, I don't think your friends ever actually had a conversation about this with anybody, you know, besides maybe Trump voters. So it's like, and I think when it's just person to person, I think that's where, like, and I don't think either of us, yeah, are going to be the raging type of like yelling people anyway. So we're going to talk to them, you know? And I think, like, I still remember, I think one of the biggest role models, I don't even know this guy's name, but that really influences me about this stuff is like, it's about this guy, this black guy who... he started befriending KKK members
because I know that story.
Yes, yeah. That story, right? And he's changed so many people's lives. Like, obviously he didn't dismantle all of white supremacy, but he converted individuals, you know, and then he actually, I think that they're trying to start he wants to start a museum of all the different, because basically every person who he converted or changed their minds, he would take in their robes, their KKK robes and stuff, and he wants to put it in a museum to showcase how many people you can change by having conversations with them. And that story really inspires me because for me, I think the scariest thing, I think, for a black person is to be with a KKK person, you know? And so the fact that this guy knew that, but was like, you know what, I'm going to go and talk to these, not a group of them, but individually, and just to get to the point of it, like, how much that can change. And you can't change the entire group. You can't change a mob, but you can change one person. And then one person is all it really takes, you know? And this is kind of going back to the spoon feeding, where it's not spoon feeding, but more like everything has to be, like, yeah, baby steps, like tiny pieces of the puzzle. Otherwise, yeah, you can never change. Yeah.
That's actually one of my favorite. It was like an NPR podcast. You could look it up. Mm-hmm. His interview. It's a really good story. And I actually like the way he does things too. Like, that's how I always approach. I try to approach people who disagree and have like bad. Like, they're in the wrong side, basically.
Yeah.
He would basically just have conversations with KKK people. Like, why don't you like me? And even connect with them on mutual things, like they both like music or whatever. And I think several, like, he befriended several, like, even like high ranking people of the KKK who eventually just gave up their robes and, you know, walked away from it all.
Yeah, I think it's like, because even when I think about, like, because, yeah, 10 years ago, I didn't know about drag queens. I'm just going into that example. And I didn't really understand the whole culture and stuff like that. And I started watching RuPaul's Drag Race. And then it really was just seeing these people as human beings and not just like some idea or some, you know, caricature or some trope or something, and seeing them as people that you're starting to, you start to understand, and you're like, okay, I get it. I get why you do this, you know? And I think I would say definitely 10 years ago, I wasn't super, I wasn't like homophobic, but I definitely didn't understand like gay life and stuff like that, you know? And I think now, I mean, I never actually had a chance to say on the podcast, but definitely I think we talked about it before, but I don't identify as straight. And this was something that I think a lot of it was internalized homophobia, where I was like trying to push away my, you know, thoughts and stuff like that. And I think, but even then, it was only this year that I realized that. Like, not like I realized I wasn't straight, but I actually said to myself, and I said to other people, that I'm not straight, you know? And this is coming from me, who I always considered myself a pretty open person. But yeah, 10 years ago, I didn't understand so many things. And it was just from watching these shows, from being friends with people who are trans and stuff like that, to being like, okay, like, everyone exists. Everyone deserves to be alive, you know, and seeing them as people. And I think my friends who meet me today, they would never think that I was like that like a couple years ago, but I was, you know. And I'm not ashamed of it, because that's just how we were raised to believe. But it's just like, okay, that's how I was as a person. So I'm going to change that. You know, change my mind and stuff like that, and accept people and et cetera.
It sounds like it was a combination of self-discovery and then, you know, just learning how us as people, we aren't simple. We aren't, you're either gay or straight. There's nothing there. It's like nothing, like, God, life is complicated in every other area. Why would anything be one way and simple, and you know what I mean?
Yeah, totally. And I think it's kind of like, yeah, life is hard, you know? And it's like, I feel like we just, but it's understandable that, like, I think it's, this is where it stems from, like, not understanding and being afraid of, like, yeah, because for a long time I was afraid of my gayness, you know, because I was like, no, I can't be, you know, blah, blah, blah. And there was a lot of shame around that and stuff like that. And so it's kind of like that pushed me further away. And at a certain point, you're just kind of like, once you stop running away from it, it's not like once I discovered or realized this about myself, I'm like, all right, I'm done, like, fully grown human and no other problems. You know, I feel like, okay, now this opens up to a bunch of other issues and things like that. So it's like, even, yeah, it's like, I think, and one thing I have to say about the younger generation, in the sense that they grew up with the internet, I felt like they were more, like, they knew these things about themselves because it's already been, you know, they had posts and things they could read about, like being gay and all that stuff. But I didn't have that growing up, you know, like actually, I realized a lot of my friends who are gay growing up, we were all in the closet. And it wasn't until like they moved out of the hometown and everything that they started coming out. And so I feel like there was still some stigma attached to that from even where I grew up in, like, LA, you know? So it's like, yeah, I don't know where I'm going at with this, but
no, you're just saying, yeah, I mean, similar with me, one of my best friends in elementary school, he came out of the closet like years later, and looking back, I'm like, oh wow, if I would, yeah, I mean, I was too young to know that stuff, but I was like, I thinking that could totally make sense now.
Yeah. And it's, so I feel like, and that's, there's also this generational divide of, yeah, like the young people, they kind of, it's already been set up for them, you know, like by the time they're born, like gay culture was more accepted. So it's easier for them to be themselves and stuff like that. But I think for us, even for me, like I'm only like a couple years older, it's so different, you know? And, but because of that, it starts to tie it into the bigger conversation. It's like, how do we expect like, you'd think someone who is, yeah, like 30s from LA, you know, would have already figured this stuff out. So how do I expect some people who are from, you know, like, so my boss, he's from Chile, like, so Latin America, and like super like traditional roles, gender roles, stuff like that, to understand any of this stuff.
Very,
you know?
Very, so like a lot of machismo.
Yes.
Stuff in that culture. And yeah.
Yeah. And so it's kind of like, and not to, and I was kind of like, when I was thinking about all this stuff, I was like, well, I can't just dismiss this person, you know? Because first of all, it's one person who I deal with every day. And also it's like, I start to realize, yeah, what kind of exposure did he have to this? He had none, you know? And so it's not like, okay, now I'm going to like expose myself, because I still don't. I'm still pretty, like, I don't talk about this stuff at work, of course. I don't feel comfortable. But it's like, at least to start to relate on a certain level, like, of, you know, just start to be like, hey, once I start feeling comfortable, I exist, you know, and you've been working with me and you like what I do. And there's another story that I really like. I don't remember if we talked about this too, but it was about, so this person in one of the Facebook groups I'm in, they're like, they're talking about their father. So they're like a really conservative Vietnamese family. So the dad was like super Catholic. And he, of course, like didn't understand like LGBT stuff like that. But he, when he moved to America, he started working in the airline industry, so flight attendants. And apparently a lot of his colleagues were gay. And he worked with them for over, I don't know how many years, got to know these people, got to love them like family. And now as an older Asian dad, he supports that, he goes to Pride, he wears this shirt that says Gaysian on it, you know? And I just kind of like, that's nice. Amazing, because you came from this super conservative place and you start to know, yeah, again, individualize, know people, and it changed your mind, you know? And I think that's a beautiful story again. And so, yeah, I think these are the stories that keep me going and give me like hope and also empowerment to do it myself someday, slowly. Spoon feeding, baby steps, whatever.
I mean, that guy's story is a perfect example. He was spoon fed that. He was exposed mm-hmm. to people he didn't understand. Yeah, that's why. I don't know. Yeah, I'm kind of. Yeah, I'm always kind of. Yeah, like I'm always kind of for just. I definitely don't believe in always. It's good to be around like-minded people, but you shouldn't always be around like-minded people.
No,
I don't think so.
I am. Mm-hmm.
You know, there's that, you know, preaching to the choir doesn't do anything.
Yeah.
Which is another problem activism. It's another problem with, yes, like, keyboard activism. It's just preaching. Both sides just preach their own choir. So they're not reaching anybody. Yeah, like, that's why, yeah, so, like, it is, so I mean, I do put myself, I like putting myself around people with different beliefs and just seeing it and, you know, having civil talks about it.
Yeah. I totally agree. And I think it's, yeah, because there's also, I think there's also a level of toxicity to be surrounded by like-minded people so much, you know, and not being with anyone else. And because at one point I remember being so like, oh my God, what about all these people in my life that I care about, but we have different views? Like even thinking about like, should I not be friends with them, you know? And it's kind of like, I'm so glad I've moved on from that thought, because it's like, no, like, that would just reinforce that whole idea of just separating yourself from people who aren't like you. And also, yeah. Yeah. So.
It'll just trigger this mindset like that the whole world is fucked.
Yeah.
Which really, you know, like at the end of the day, in terms of racism and, you know, LGBTQ and all, and, you know, everything, it actually is, even though it's not, there's a lot of fucked up stuff happening, it is still the best time in the world to be all of these things, to be that, to be a POC. POC, it is the best.
That's true. That is very true.
Yeah.
That is very true.
I would not want to be, a brown dude in any other era than now, because it is the best, time ever.
That is super, super true. That should go somewhere. Yeah, that's another thing where people are like, yeah, like, society's getting worse. Like, back then, it was all good and stuff. And it's like, not really. And yeah, the only reason it feels worse is because things are being exposed. You know, things are being made to light. They didn't mean that they didn't exist back then, you know? So it's kind of like, things aren't just getting worse. They've been the same. It just feels worse. But doesn't mean, like, yeah, like, totally right. Like, like I said, like I would, I mean, I used to think about that too, like time traveling. I'd be like, I would time travel the furthest back to the 80s. You know, but even now, like actually in Switzerland, I think that's another reason that I like being around in Switzerland, because maybe I don't experience racism because I don't understand the language, but I feel really comfortable being myself here, you know? And I think like, yeah, maybe if I was in Lucerne 10 years ago, I wouldn't feel this way. So if anything, now's the best time to be here. And yeah. You know, so that's super true. Yeah.
I mean, I remember as a kid in the 90s and like even 10 years ago with, you know, with like Hollywood stuff, the casting couch was a joke. Oh, the actress goes on the casting couch and that's how she gets her part. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And now now serious shit has gone down where, you know, the people who set up that fucked up system are paying for it. It's like, oh yeah, now the casting couch thing is not, you know, something you just like wink about. It's like, yeah, that was not cool. And and I was just thinking like, wow, yeah, this is like a good example of how things are like, yeah, things are still fucked, but it's still the best time ever.
That is 100% true.
Yeah. I'm always sure that the glass half full mindset.
Yeah. And I want to do that too. Because sometimes it's hard. Like, yeah, you read the news and you're just like, fuck, the world is burning and everything sucks. But it's like, yeah, but I'm still going to be on this planet and I want to make the best of it. Yeah. I still want to hang out with my friends and, you know, and it's not like I'm closing my eyes to the problem. No, it's because we're actually very aware that everything sucks. That's why we have to enjoy it. Not enjoy the suckiness, but try to enjoy the best parts and try to, you know, make the world a better place in your own time and whatever. But yeah, but physically and not behind a keyboard.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This has been our most political podcast we've ever done. Yeah.
I was about to say, like, I wanted to, now, we haven't even gotten to your life update yet, which I'm very excited about, by the way.
Ask away. What's up?
Okay, so since Mongolia, so basically we heard about my, you know, since like July. What about you? Start talking.
Okay. All right. So you want to ask about the Bay, right?
Yes, I want to know about Bay. How did it happen? When did it happen?
Okay. See, Bay. Her name is Yan. We met about a month before I went to Mongolia. So during the last podcast, we were like, I think I was just casually dating people randomly. Mm-hmm. And I actually met her through a hot pot dinner from a mutual friend who was like visiting from Shanghai. Our friend was like, yeah, I don't have time to see everyone. So how about we just like meet up, have hot pot tonight? So, you know, and I saw her and I thought she was really cute.
Mm-hmm.
Ironically, a little bit cold when we first met. But, and then I think after Hot Pot, we were thinking what we should do. And, you know, being me normal, I'm like, hey, there's a gig happening over here later tonight. You guys want to go? And so, yeah, we went over there and we saw a band playing. And she was really into it. And basically, my friend left and I said, hey, if you ever want to go to a show sometime, let me get your info and we'll go. And so she was excited, so we did that. We planned to go, and she told me later on at that point she just thought I would be a friend only. And also like she just never thought she would actually go out a date a foreigner. So yeah, we hang out a couple times, go to some shows and stuff. And basically, I think one night we're just at a ball. This was like a movie. So we're going out a couple times and, you know, texting a lot. And she says at this point that she still did not like me. I had not made a full on move on her yet. So when I were drinking at this bar, this outside bar, it was like raining, and I got and she says this like, yeah, I'll never like a guy unless he tells me he likes me first. So basically, I thought she was saying. Yeah. So basically, I thought she was. So I'm like, yeah, I like you. I really like you. And then And then she's just laughing, like, ha, Vince, you're drunk. What are you saying? And I'm like, I'm not, if you don't like me, that's fine. I'm like, if you don't like me, that's fine. I'm just letting you know. And so we finish our drink and we start walking. And she's going to get a taxi. And by this point, it's raining all over us. It's like raining. And then we just move closer and closer. And then, like, yeah, I just go for the kiss. And we just, like, start making out in the rain.
Oh, my God. That is like a movie.
Yeah.
It's like a K-drama right there.
Yeah.
And then, like, music first holding starts each other playing close in the background. Yeah.
Holding each other close and then, like, going in closer and closer and going for a kiss. And it wasn't raining hard. It was light rain, too. And then, yeah, we just, like, end up making out for, like, 5 minutes. And then, yeah, we take the taxi. She takes her taxi home. And, then we just take it from there. Just start dating more. Mm-hmm. And I hadn't seen someone else. And that girl, it just didn't work out. So I just naturally found myself only seeing her.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And yeah, we just started, you know, when I went to Mongolia, we were texting a lot, actually. Mm-hmm. And it was funny. We actually got in a fight in Mongolia. I think it was on the last day. Like, it was me being typical Vince. Like, she was, like, leaving me a message and she tripped and fell. And she left a message saying, like, oh, my leg hurts so badly. And, you know, my natural reaction is I just started laughing. We got in a big fight, and I think, like, I responded one time with, like, the next morning I responded with just K. Okay, a K. And that set off a huge eruption. We were text fighting, like, the whole way to the airport, and we eventually made up, but, like, and, it's just been getting more serious. I've not been in a serious thing with someone. I mean, earlier last year, I was, like, dating someone for 5 months, so that was, like, the last time. But even then, we were never, like, labeling each other or anything.
Yeah, because I remember when I saw that Instagram post, the first thing I was like, oh, my God. Like, I think I told Daniel, I was like, oh, my God, this is girlfriend. And, like, I was kind of like, yeah, because the whole time we've known each other, because you've always been more private about your dating life, and it kind of was just like people would come and go and stuff like that, but this whole time we've been friends, you've never like actually, like, you know, like, posted someone's picture and called them bae, you know what I mean? And so I was like, this is a big thing. And actually that weekend I saw Martin, I think, and I was like, oh my God, Martin, did you know this is a girlfriend? And he was like, oh yeah, I saw that, you know. So it was news.
yeah. Oh, dude, yeah. So I guess I never, I got so many messages from people because I have never posted a girl before.
Yeah.
Or, you know, other times I posted photos of me out with a girl, I would maybe just post a photo with, like, two beers or, you know, like, something. I like to keep things vague usually, you know, I don't want no one to bother me. And it's not that, you know, we're just dating. It's not serious. So what happened with that? Oh, so, like, maybe about a month before that. So this must have been June. One of her friends who's, like, she plays the cello. She was having, like, a concert night at this college. So we both went together. And her friends didn't really speak English, so she introduces me to them. And so I asked her, like, hey, so what did you introduce me as? And then Yang got really shy, and she's like, oh, my boyfriend. And then I just get really happy, and I'm like, really? And it's like, is that okay with you? And I'm like, so am I your boyfriend now? I'm like, do you want to be? And I'm like, sure.
Aww, that's so good. I'm like super happy for you right now.
I still don't think you were official yet. I think at some point, like about, like, yeah, maybe like 2 weeks, 3 weeks ago, like, she just calls me her boyfriend in Chinese, and you could read that. And I think at that point we made it official. And then about 2 weeks ago, like right that day of the photo, she's like, do you know, this week's Chinese Valentine's Day? And I'm like, That's a lie. There's no Valentine's Day in August. What are you talking about? And I found, and I Googled it. It really was. So, like, yeah, we went out to a rooftop bar, and I guess, you know, like, I got really into the romance of it all, and I was inspired to post that photo. Like,
that's amazing. Because to me, I was like, first of all, you've never been like the outwardly romantic type, you know? So I was like, this has to be big, because you would never do that. So this is like a big thing, you know? So that's why. And also, I think I just posted a smiley face, because I was like, I wanted to, you know, keep it cool, you know, not be like, oh my god, man. It's like, so I was just like, smiley. But I was like, I can't wait to hear about this story. And yeah, oh, that's so cool. And I know that she must be awesome.
Yeah, she's really cool.
Yeah, she sounds really awesome. Mm-hmm.
She's like into like hip hop dancing, and mm-hmm. She likes dogs a lot. She likes animals. Aww. And mm-hmm. she's like a very sweet person. She's like, the last girl I was dating before was very antisocial, did not want me to meet her friends or meet my friends. I was actually very unhappy. And 4 months we were just, it was just like at her apartment all the time. That was it. It's totally different. And dude, the next day I got so many questions, and even one of my coworkers told me, "Yeah, the guys in the other office were talking about you to me."
Like, you made, I would say you made international news.
International news, yeah.
I think my mom even texted me about it.
Really?
I think so, and I remember she always texts me random shit, because she doesn't, basically Instagram is her like gossip column and stuff. I think she might have asked like if you had a girlfriend or what did bae mean or something. I was like, yeah, I just said like, yeah, I didn't get into it, but yeah, so I think people have asked, and yeah, so hot topic. Yeah. And that means next time, we'll see how it goes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we do have one problem, and we've talked about this, mm-hmm. how we might have there might be a timer on the relationship, because she brings it up a lot, because she really wants to have kids, and you know, and to me that's like, no way. She says, I might want to have kids in the next 2 years, like right now it's cool. And we both said, do you think you'll change your mind? So, you know, we'll just enjoy it now and see what happens. And people with those different plans, it always does come crap ending at some point.
Can I say something about that, actually? So
let me get my phone charger real fast, because I'm talking on the phone and it's about to die. Hold on.
Okay. Okay, so let me just say something about that. So so when Daniel and I first started dating, and nothing was really official, but we're just moving, you know? And we really liked each other and everything. And I remember I still remember the day we were at IKEA waiting for the bus. And I was kind of like, you know, I just wanted to know all these things. So I just asked him point blank, like, do you want kids? And he said his biggest dream was to, like, be a father. And I remember just being like, oh, okay, because I don't know if I want to have kids. And I said, would that be a deal breaker for you? And he said he didn't know, and he said maybe. And I remember being like, oh, okay, well, let's just see what happens, right? Because I was kind of like, yeah, I'm not sure. And for me, kids is not, like, my dream is not to be a mom. But he really wants to be a dad. So that's, like, a big life, you know, thing. I think a year later, at this point we're together, we love each other, all that stuff. And I think I asked him again, like, about the kids thing, and he had said it didn't matter anymore. And like, it didn't matter if we didn't have kids. And I was like, really? He's like, yeah, because I love you now, you know? Like, in the beginning, he didn't, I guess he didn't know me at the time, so it was more like this was a, like, a factor, but once he got to know me as a person, it didn't matter anymore. And I was kind of like, oh, wow, but for me, actually, I don't mind having kids, I just don't ever want to have them. I want to adopt kids, you know? And then he was like, yeah, okay. So we kind of, like, that was the compromise, you know? And, but it was just kind of like how it really, because especially something that was so fundamental to him that I thought would never change. But once he's like, he got to know me, he's like, yeah, it's not a factor anymore. And I was just like, wow, amazing. But now I'm also okay with it, but just, you know, and so that just is my two cents.
That's positive. That's good to know. Wow.
Yeah, because I think at the time, especially when you're still, like, new, of course, everyone kind of has their, like, beliefs of, like, yeah, that's because that's a big thing. It's a life thing, you know? But then for him to be like, no, now I know you, I love you, and if you don't want kids, that's fine with me. I think in the end, it kind of worked out because I was like, yeah, I don't mind. It's just, I just didn't want to have them, you know? And he was like, yeah, that's fine. And so, yeah. I mean, we kind of reached a compromise, but it almost felt like even if we didn't, it wouldn't have been such a pressure as it would have been before, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, just, you know, just it shows like, but that also kind of goes back to the whole, once you start to see someone for who they are and you really love that person, like, suddenly, like, these things, it doesn't become, like, such a huge, I don't know. I don't know if it's different, too, because for me, also, I don't have, like, I think a lot of women, they have this, like, oh, yeah, because I want to have kids before I'm 30. Like, I don't have that problem. So, for me, it didn't really matter. but yeah, I'm just saying, like, you never know.
Yeah. I mean, you know, she's still with me right now. So, that says something in itself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and she. Yeah, I don't think I'll change my mind on that. I think I like the idea of adopting maybe when I'm old or older.
Yeah,
older.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you know, not a big fan of babies, and don't.
Yeah,
I'm not a fan of spending all my money and being tired all the time. And
yeah,
I when people try to bring up like the positives of babies, I'm like, I don't see it. I just don't see it all.
You're yesterday again, we were going to IKEA, and I think there was this baby on the bus crying, and I was getting so annoyed and aggravated, and Daniel's like, why do you hate babies so much? And I was like, I don't hate babies. Like, a couple weeks ago, there were some babies at the party that we were at, and I was like, you know, being nice to the baby, but then I did admit, I was like, yeah, but I really had to try hard to, like, not show that I didn't like kids or something. But it's kind of like, I don't hate babies, but I mean, it's not my baby. So why would I love them in the first place?
Why don't you love this thing? It's like,
so why don't you love this stranger? Like, I don't know. I don't like them. And for me also, like, I really see, it's not to dehumanize babies, but I feel like it's like, they're not, for me, a baby isn't really a person yet because they haven't, like, reached, like, once they start talking, that's different, you know? But when they're a baby, they're just really just, they're just like a body with needs, and, you know, they need stuff, and it's just kind of like, okay, that's cool, but I cannot provide this need because I don't know the baby, I'm not the baby's mom, like, all these factors that makes me not care about it, you know? So, like, I had to stop myself when I was at that party. I called the baby it, and I was like, oh, fuck, you know? And then someone else called it, and then someone else pointed out, like, it. You know, but I was kind of, it's really hard for me to, like, you know, I don't know. And so, I mean, I'm preaching to the choir because we both feel very similar about babies. But, like, yeah.
Ironically.
And I don't hate babies, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Ironically, the girl that I was dating before Yan, or I guess at the same time around the beginning, was, like, she hated babies. Like, yeah.
And that was a bonding factor.
She actually wanted to be very serious with me, but I liked Yan more, and I felt like with her, besides the baby thing, it wasn't really going anywhere.
Yeah, I mean, it's like you should. Yeah, like I really feel like it, just because someone else equally doesn't like kids doesn't mean like, oh yeah, we're gonna be together, even if your personality sucks and whatever, you know. So it's,
yeah, but yeah, dude, it's interesting actually being like. oh, I'm officially committed with someone. I went to Korea a couple weeks ago. She could not come. Uh-huh. She was on a business trip.
Oh,
and
okay.
I was like, wow, I'm traveling somewhere and I mean, I don't meet people or women every time I travel, but I'm not that cool. Yeah. But there are times when it happens. and I'm like, wow, there's like, I'm no prospects at all. Like, I'm not here to meet any women. It's interesting. Yeah. It was like, oh, okay, this is different. I ended up meeting two guys at a bar and we drank together. That was basically it. Like, it was a...
That's cool. Yeah, this is, it's like Vince, because you were always, for me, the lifelong bachelor, you know? And I mean, and I kind of just kind of knew whenever you would date someone, it would just, yeah. So for me, I'm like, wow, this is like a life change. And I always think when someone changes in a big way like this, it's always super interesting and cool to see how you will grow from it. And what, I mean, just how you will become as a person, like how will this affect you? Like, so interesting.
Yeah. Like, even if it doesn't work out, like this is still, it's an experience, I guess it's about time I have. This, when you said you saw me as a lifetime bachelor, that makes me think of something I wanted to ask you. I don't know if you remember this, but okay, so several months ago, you know, you, me, and Michael were talking on Twitter, and I left that Seinfeld video of how Jerry Seinfeld breaks up, takes a girl dumping him, and then he's like, all right, it's okay, I'll meet someone else, and we'll both meet someone else, it's fine. And you replied like, oh my God, Vince, you sharing this video answers so many questions I've had about you.
Yeah.
And I was like, what are those questions? I was like, I wanted to save it for the podcast. And I'm like, what is
okay. you mean by that? Basically, because I was like, that's, because I always, it wasn't like I was always staying up at night wondering why is not Vince not have like been in a long-term relationship, never like that, you know, but I was always curious. And then this clip was like, it answered the question of like, because you, but that's how you are, like it was actually the most Vince-est thing about you, which is like, you know, life goes on, you meet other people, yeah, it's all good, you know. And but it kind of answered that, like in the sense of like, oh, that's why you just kind of, it's not like you're just like, I'm just gonna, my goal is to be the ultimate bachelor, it's just like it didn't work out, so I'm just gonna move on, you know, whereas some other people would have like tried to stay in the relationship or tried to fix it or like, you know, like saw it as a problem. And yeah. I'm not saying that's negative either, because I'm the type of person I want to like be in this relationship, you know, but this was kind of like, no, like it just happens. And I actually really like that because I think it's a really positive way of seeing it. And also this whole like, cause I'm also like, I don't believe that people need to be in committed relationships either. Like, even though I want to be and I am happy in my relationship, like I totally understand if people don't. And I think in the past I was always taught that if someone didn't want to do that or if people, then there's something wrong with them because everyone should be in a committed relationship. But I'm like, no,
yeah,
like, you don't have to, you know, you really don't have to. And I think actually some people are more miserable because of it, because they think they have to be, so they, you know, that's why people cheat. And that's why, like, you know, like, because I think a lot of times if you don't have that mentality, then cheating wouldn't be such an issue anymore, because it's like, you know, that's why there's a lot of people are in the polyamorous relationships. I don't know if I can do that myself, but hey, like if it's mutual and you let everyone know this is happening, then that they're cheating isn't an issue, you know. Or if you're just like, hey, this isn't going to work out, I'm just going to move on, then, you know, just move on versus staying in something and then doing something on the side, trying to, you know, fulfill your own needs. But, you know, like it becomes a mess. And so.
No. Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
You're feeling bad about lying. Like, yeah. I mean, when I first started dating, yeah. And I was like, yeah, I'm dating other people right now. And she said, when we first started, she didn't want to be serious. So I'm like, yeah. It's like, we'll just see how it goes, but I am seeing other people and I don't want to be serious. And I used to think that if I told that to a woman, they would not like it, but almost every woman I've told that to, they're basically fine with it if I just say it up front. Like, you, like,
yeah. That's kind of like, I think when I and I were dating, we both, even though we didn't say it, we kind of assumed that we were both seeing other people, and it wasn't, and actually we had the opposite conversation of when we started to get serious of like, hey, are you seeing other people? Because it'd be cool if we just saw each other exclusively kind of thing, you know, because it's either assume, because I think people kind of assume it. And I think, but I also feel like, I wonder if this is an American thing or something, but I feel like, or maybe it's just, it's been a while, but like, I feel like in the past, when I was living in the States and conversations I would have with my friends, it was almost like, oh, they can't see other people. Like, once you start dating someone, it feels like they have to be exclusive. But here, like, nowadays, like, I feel like when you, especially with Tinder and everything, it's almost assumed that you're kind of seeing other people anyway. And it's just kind of nice to just be like, just say it up front, you know, just let me know. Because then if you're going to see other people, then I will too. Or we're both seeing other people. And yeah, I don't know.
And if that changes, then talk about it. Like, I think assuming is always a bad idea about both situations.
Yeah.
It's like, just talk about it. Just say it.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. It's not that crazy.
No.
I'm thinking like, I think one factor that really got me into like dating actively more, and now I'm serious, is the past 2 years before coming to Beijing, I was with my friends all the time, like the cycling squad, and we'd be going. Mm-hmm. And I the past 2 years, I had no interest really in dating, except like sometimes on Tinder, but that's it. Like, I was just, you know, I was kind of living that bachelor, like just having the time, you know, time of my life with my friends every multiple times a week. And then since coming to Beijing, I just have less friends here now. So I think that maybe, all right, so I guess it's time to give this part of my life I've always not kind of ignored a lot. The situation changed.
Yeah, actually, I think that was something when I was thinking about this, I mean, it wasn't like, I was kind of like, yeah, probably, yeah, because you have less, like, kind of solid friend group, you know what I mean? Like, to fall back on. So, and when you move to a new country, you're kind of meeting people. Like, yeah, actually, the first thing I did when I moved to Switzerland was kind of date more, because, well, after I kind of like found my apartment, and it was really like after I settled down, found my apartment, I was like, okay, I'm gonna start dating, because A, I wanna get to know people around the city. And also, I have no friends right now, you know, might as well do it and see what happens. And I think it's like, it's good too, because you're dating. Yeah, is she from Beijing or is she?
She's not from Beijing. She's from Henan.
Okay, but it's like you're dating someone who's, you know, sort of local. And I mean, and also like, you know, it's, yeah, I just think it kind of, it just makes sense to naturally go into that, especially when you just move somewhere else, unless you're like. Like, some people, they move to a different country and they're like, I just want to travel all the time. You know, there's just different priorities for people. But for me, it was really like, I was like, you know, I want to get to know this country. Also, I'm not the type to travel all the time. I don't have the means to do that. So might as well, like, yeah, just start getting serious about some stuff and see what happens.
And like, dating her and even dating like less serious before that, you're right. It was exactly the same way. It's how I found a lot of places to go and know the streets and know things. Like, it is a way to learn about your new surroundings and everything like that.
Yeah, because generally, I mean, you could meet someone who just, and even then, like, if you met someone who also just moved there, it's a good way to like both learn about the place and just get to it, basically just making connections and stuff. And yeah
moving and grooving.
Yeah, cool.
But so that's life now. But speaking of the bike squad, I am going back home for a month.
Yes. I want to ask you about that.
Yeah, I'm going back in about two weeks. One of my friends on Twitter asked me, like, now that you have Bay, are you still going to LA? She's actually going to go back to Henan for, it's going to be a big Chinese holiday, so she's going to be gone for like 2 or 3 weeks herself, but we're both kind of not, it is weird, I did not think I'd be a little not happy about going, because I am going to, it is a little like,
feelings,
we gotta make sure we survive the month, like,
yeah, but this is all very good, like, I think it's yeah, like, it's good to, like, see how you react, like, separate, you know, how things turn and how much you'll miss each other or not. I don't know. Yeah. But, like, yeah. Oh, I'm so happy for you, Vince. Like, it's, like, all these things, because it's, like, things that, like, yeah, they're just growth. It's just growth things. Just growing things.
Adulting stuff.
Yeah, just right? Adult stuff. Yeah. Yeah. Aww. So cool.
Going back in September 7th, I'm going to be back for a month. I'll have like about a week off, but and then I'll just be like editing from like my dad's house, basically. I'm kind of curious to see how this goes, because when I lived in Hong Kong, I never stayed home that long. So yeah. I wonder if that it was the reason why I eventually left. I got super homesick. Maybe if I, mm-hmm. So I'm thinking maybe if I did a long month home, and then that would just make me get sick of it. And after that, and then I'd be like ready to leave again. I'm kind of curious to see how that would go.
Yeah, I think that's kind of interesting too. Cause like, I mean, that's how I usually take 3 weeks in LA in the past. And yeah, like I think 2 weeks you're still like, oh my God, I love LA. And then third week you're like, okay, like ready to get my life back on track. You know what I mean? It's like, so I think it really is kind of like getting that quota of like, okay, I got my fix, you know, and you can go back to your, you know, current
normal,
life.
Yeah,
and,
normal life.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, it would be nice to see my mom again, but then I'll be out by the time she starts driving me crazy. And then my friends and I, the bike dudes, we're all going to go to Joshua Tree for a couple of days.
Taking
our bikes there.
And, nice.
So it should be pretty chill, pretty nice. And
yeah.
Yeah. I'm getting ready for all the pizza I'm going to eat.
Oh, pizza. Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, this year I'm not going to go back, but I'm totally fine with it. I think I've had... It's just kind of like I always knew that going back to LA was kind of tied with the job, especially now because I don't have enough money to go back. But so I kind of mentally prepared for it. And I think now like what's been nice is like feeling like I have. Yeah, because now I'm, you know, I have family here because Daniel's my family and stuff. And his mom is my family. To actually feel like I'm going to have a Swiss Christmas and just want to see what that's like, you know, and all that stuff. That's exciting in its own right. And also, I think I was telling my sister, like, in the past, I would always just go back to LA because that was just every Christmas and stuff. And that was the way, like, I think with our old company, you get a free flight home. So I had to go back to LA. But now it's kind of like, because, yeah, I have so many relatives in other parts of the States that I have not visited. So I feel like I don't no longer feel so tied to LA anymore. So I can go and spend some time with them and stuff like that. So in a way, it was time kind of thing. Because it's not like I regretted all those years. It was like it was fun to do that, but now it's time to kind of be like, all right, I'm letting go. And actually, even so, now my mom doesn't live in LA anymore, and my sister's trying to actively move away from LA. She's trying to actually move to Seattle.
Oh, nice.
Which I hope she does it, because I'm like, I think it's good for her, and I think it's really good for people to move away from, you know, where they've been their entire lives kind of thing. And I think for her, LA was not good, like all the expenses, because she had a car and stuff like that. And Seattle, like the way she was describing it, I think it really suits her lifestyle. I no longer feel so attached to it. But it's kind of good too. Like, because now even when I go back to LA, I'm probably going to stay with other friends. And everyone kind of just moved outside from where we were before, you know? So it's a nice change. I can hear the construction.
Oh, God. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, yeah, there's like less reasons to go, and you know, you've made a lot of trips back, so it's time for us to go. All your friends, it's time for us to visit you.
Exactly. Yeah. And, so actually, I've been trying. I think one of my cousins, they're gonna come and visit me in October, and I'm like already like, okay, I kept saying, you can stay with me, but for some reason he's not responding to that. But I really want to make my apartment like just like livable so people can come and crash and it's nice, you know. And I'm trying to, and actually for a while I wanted to move to a bigger place, but I don't think that's possible at the moment. But I think, yeah, like just have a nice bed, air mattress in the living room. Like, yeah, people come, like visit me. It's so cool here. And I'm, yeah.
Yeah,
just come here. Yeah. And even if you don't want to stay with me, there's a hostel in Lucerne that used to be a prison. So they've converted the rooms into like it sells into these little hostel rooms and stuff. And it's next to the best Japanese restaurant in town. And it's, yeah, it's fun. Just come.
Ooh. Would it be imposing if... Yeah. Would it be opposed, just hypothetically, if I came on around Christmas time? Would that be too crazy?
No, you should come at Christmas time. Yeah, because if we have, so this is going to be our first Christmas together, and I think we might spend it with Daniel's mom, but it's going to probably be small. And I actually was trying to get people to come for Christmas, but it's a bit difficult because, like, everyone wants to be, you know, with the family during Christmas. Yeah, so please... Please come for Christmas. It might not snow, but still, there's a Christmas market. It's going to be awesome.
Dude, that sounds sick. And like, basically, yeah. Big Paige, I did not go home. Last Christmas was my first Christmas not being home, and I really liked it. Like, there was no stress of shopping for people. And
that's so true. That is super true. Because even last Christmas when we went to my mom's place in Yucca Valley, like, it was nice and all, but it was a bit like... Kind of like, I think, because in the past our Christmas parties used to be a really big thing. Like, we had all our family over, food was a big thing, and this time it was much smaller and was only a couple of us. It wasn't like, well, this isn't worth it anymore, but kind of where it was like, that was great, but we can now, that tradition's broken, you know. In a way, it's like, that's a good thing. I feel free to like have other Christmases and do other things with other people, you know. And yeah,
no, exactly. Like, My dad used to say exactly what you're talking about. My dad used to say this when I used to have to work like on a holiday, and he's like, you know, like, you've gone to, like, I think I used to work on Thanksgiving, so when I used to like have like a restaurant job, he'd be like, you've had a bunch of Thanksgivings and there's many more to come. Like, you could skip a few. It's not the end of the world. Like, there's gonna be big Christmas parties in the future, and you've had like many before, so trying something different for a few years, there's nothing, that's not ending anything. It's, you know, it's evolving.
Yeah. And I think as much as, yeah, the traditions were fun, but yeah, you do feel like there was a sense of freedom. Yeah, when you're like, now I can do anything I want, you know. So it's nice. I always feel like things should end. All things should end at some point.
Is that a good segue to end the podcast?
Yeah, probably, because now I'm really hungry. I just had coffee. I didn't have breakfast yet, so.
Oh, shit.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I've been studying in my kitchen this whole time, so I'm starting to eye these bananas that I have right here. Okay, I'm going to get my banana now, so.
Okay.
This has been Mutually Awkward Podcast. Yep, keep it awkward.
Bye.
My heart, 'cause you and me are going far. I'd rather be within your your arms. I wrote this song because I wanted you. You sang my part, now it sounds skew. Now that it sounds like I want a dude, but knowing me, you know that I could love is love. I'm